Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
Do you have any trivia for this? Does it look like we do?
I have one for the little things.
Okay.
It's a small one thing.
Okay. It's a little thing.
The little thing,
yeah.
Oh, Natalie.
Save it for the podcast, Natalie.
God damn it, Natalie.
We could just start there. That could be like part of our intro. I'm good at that. So is this it? Are we recording?
Oh, I don't know.
We good?
I don't know. You're drinking. I don't know.
I am drinking. How are we doing? How is everyone? Fine.
Good.
It's been a while.
Things are looking good these days.
Aren't they though? Uh-huh. Got a new president, a new vice president. We've got competence in Washington. We've got some good movies coming out. Lena's going to be employed soon, knock on wood.
Yay! Yeah,
fingers crossed.
In days, it feels lovely.
What's in days?
I said I haven't watched CNN in days. Like, it's kind of nice to be like, I'm going to let this rest for a bit.
Yeah, just take a break.
Let news be boring again and feel like it's not my job to pay attention to every detail of what's happening.
Totally. I'm with you.
I think I sent you a TikTok, Sean, and it was like, oh my God, did you hear on the news what Trump did today? Me neither.
That's funny. Lena, you send me TikToks on the TikTok app, and I don't go on the TikTok app that often. So
I know, but I'm so tired of like saving videos and then sending them to people. And then I forget that I save them. And I have all these millions of freaking videos.
You can just copy and paste the link too, sweetie. Do I need to teach you how to work technology?
I hate that thing. I don't like when people send me those because I'm like, I just want to see the video. I don't want to go to a link.
Yeah. Okay, it's fine. You do you. I'm just saying sometimes I open the app and I get a flood. I have like 50 messages from
there you go.
And I'm like,
oh,
cool.
And they're all funny. And then
so that's popular.
Well, then you don't have to scroll. You can just look at all the videos I send you.
Pretty much. There's a new app that I was trying to invite you guys to. It's called Clubhouse, and it's going to be like the next best thing.
Yes, I've been seeing my friend on that. and he's been doing a lot of like entertainment talk and like some cool people have been on there. I'm like, how the heck is this happening?
So it's tons of industry people.
Yeah.
It's tons of, and across all industries, like whatever you want to learn about, there's like high profile people that are in rooms talking, and it's audio only. And I was actually thinking it could be fun if we maybe did an episode on Clubhouse. So basically we would have accounts and then you host, we would say like, it's the Martini Scale podcast. And it's kind of like a live episode that we would do. You don't record it though. It's not, you can't like play it back later. The idea is just to kind of mingle with people in the moment. And so I thought maybe we could do like a fun, you know, topical episode, maybe like a countdown of something, our favorites or whatever. And then we could do it in the app and then we could do it live. And that could be like a special thing that we do maybe like the spring.
That's interesting. Yeah. I need to get on there and look at it because
I have invites. So I'll send you guys, invites and then download it and we can check it out and see what we want to do. I tried to get Natalie on it, but she was like not into it. So maybe my tech savvy friend Lena will be into it.
I'm like, I don't want to download another app. I'm like an old lady that just like, oh, I got to do a tweet or something. I got a Twitter. I got to do a TikTok.
I know.
I got to do a story on the Facebook. I don't know.
Girl, get with the times. You ain't that
Grandma
old.
Grandma Michelle, you got to stay young, honey. If you don't stay young. You
got to keep your brain moving. You got to keep learning things.
This coronavirus really aged me. It aged me in a lot of ways. And I feel as though, no offense, but I'm well into my 40s. And I am not. I feel like I'm older than you folks over there.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I feel like I'm older than you folks over there.
I have been getting so much
spoken every day. What's going on?
Over the last year that I feel as if I'm going to come out of this youthful and I'm going to have so much energy. It's going to be the roaring 20s. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun.
I mean, look at our hair. Look at our skin. It is flawless after this. I'm telling you.
I mean, nothing else is, but
okay.
Yeah, well, it's fine. No one will have been.
Way to stay positive, Natalie.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We need to keep it going.
I'm about reality.
Okay. And,
the scope of living in my sweatpants and yoga pants for a long, long time.
Okay, hey, Natalie, we still can be doing that. It's the style
your
now.
Your reality is dragging me down, though. I had to bring it up.
I'm so sorry. I'm a bit tired. So. Okay.
Well, if you're tired double now. Whammy. If you're tired now, just wait till we talk about these movies today, because let me tell you, sleep inducing.
Oh my God.
All right. In this episode, we will be discussing The Little Things, which is an American neo-noir crime thriller written and directed by John Lee Hancock. I was actually wondering if that was his real name or if he did one of those things where the director and the writer is like, I'm not going to be associated with this. The plot follows two police officers, Denzel Washington and Rami Malek, who try to catch a serial killer in the 1990s Los Angeles. The film also stars Jared Leto as their top suspect and Natalie. I almost read Natalie Michelli.
I know, me too.
As another detective. It was released in the United States on January 29th, 2021 by Warner Brothers. And it will have the month-long simultaneous release on HBO Max, which is why we're talking about it now. I was going to say something else about that, but I'll skip to it in a second because we're also discussing Palmer today, which is a 2021 American drama. It was directed by Fisher Stevens and written by Cheryl Guerrero, I believe it is.
Guerrero.
It stars Justin Timberlake as a former college football star, now ex-convict, who starts to mentor a young boy, writer Alan. It also stars Alicia Wainwright, June Squibb, and Juno Temple. And it is currently available on Apple TV Plus. The interesting thing, so I keep seeing that all of these movies are like in theaters, like they're doing a lot of Oscar, I think, buzzy type stuff right now. And so you're seeing like now playing in like New York and Los Angeles. And I'm like, where the fuck can you see a movie in New York or Los Angeles right now? Could someone explain this to me? Because I didn't know movie theaters were open.
Is this a drive-in? Does that count?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, but even where are the drive-ins here? The drive-ins here are showing like Little Mermaid and Scream. I don't understand. They're not showing new movies.
I think there's some theaters showing new movies.
Really?
Yeah. But there just hasn't been a ton of new movies. So that's why a lot of the drive-ins have been doing older films.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Natalie, why don't you tell us what we're drinking for this lovely, super high energy, positive episode?
Well, it's got a little kick of caffeine in there, and it's to maybe wake us up a little bit, and it's a little combo of both movies, and it's a little Arnold Palmer martini.
Little Palmer.
So it's a adult Arnold Palmer.
That's cute martini. What's in it?
Tea.
Okay.
Lemon juice. Vodka, I did like I muddled a little sugar cube in there just to give it a little bit of sweetness, but
yeah, I needed it.
Yeah, it's still pretty tart, so
it's nice,
but it's refreshing. It feels nice for summer, which it is not.
It's like the coldest it's ever been in Los Angeles, but you know,
I know, I'm like, what are you talking about? Summer.
I would enjoy this on a summer day.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, put it in your maybe collections, as I think the little folder that they have labeled in Instagram.
Yes.
Where you could save this recipe in the future, folks. So
okay.
It's very true.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. Or do a handwritten note and write down the recipe and save it for a future use on a summer day.
Okay. I'm feeling it. All right. Should we dive into which one do you guys want to do first? I don't really have an attachment either way, so.
I don't either.
You know, I gathered that you did not have an attachment. Let's start with The Little Things, because I want to say I'm not like a massive fan of John Lee Hancock. But
who's a real person?
Who is a real person? But he directed probably one of my favorite movies of the last like 10 years, and that is The Founder, that was released in 2016. Mm. John, have you seen this movie?
I have not seen The Founder. Is that this isn't the McDonald's one, is it?
Yes, it mm-hmm. is.
It is. Okay. I actually have always wanted to see that. Apparently, you're recommending it.
So amazing. And any person I recommend it to comes back to me and is like, this movie was amazing. And it's just so well done. And I think watching Michael Keaton and that kind of character arc of he plays Roy Kroc, who ends up kind of like, I don't know if he's like ends up being the CEO of McDonald's, but kind of his trajectory of success into this role is wildly interesting and frustrating at times. And I just watch it. It just, it's very, very fascinating. And he's so perfect. He's so perfect.
When is he not perfect?
I know.
I am so sorry. I apologize to anybody listening right now if your ears are cracking. There's a helicopter outside of my home right now, and I'm trying very hard to not capture that on the audio. This mic picks everything up. So
I know this is not related to this movie at all, but I was driving past your house tonight, Sean. And
I love when people tell me that.
And at
watching me in the window.
Creepy.
At 5:59, that church was like, its bell was ringing. I'm like, shouldn't that be at 6 o'clock? Like, they're off. Like, the time is off. Yeah,
it's usually ringing on the hour, I think.
Yeah, shouldn't it
be on
the hour?
What were you doing in my house? By my house?
I was standing outside your window. You don't need to worry about it.
Okay. I mean, I thought I heard someone's crying downstairs. Was that you?
Nellie does that in Hollywood.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, to be candid with you, it's just a typical night in Hollywood. So yeah. I didn't think much of it. But now that you mention it.
The good old days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Well, yeah, let's do the little things.
Okay, cool. Lena, dive I think you have some trivia. That.
I only have a little piece of trivia. And it's that Steven Spielberg, Clint Eastwood, and Danny DeVito were all originally attached to direct this at separate points.
Oh, Danny DeVito directs?
Danny DeVito.
Who knew?
I know. I was like, what? I was like, I definitely have to point this out. But I think also too, I didn't put it in here, but I think that he's been working on this movie for like years.
Decades.
Yeah, decades.
It was written in the 90s.
Yeah.
One of my notes is that it's set in the 90s. It was written in the 90s and it felt like it was released in the 90s.
But I feel like it felt like I was watching a 90s thriller. Yeah. And I actually was, it was nostalgic and I liked it. I liked it for that reason.
Did it feel like you were watching the movie Seven that was also released in the 90s?
A little bit. And I love the movie Seven even today. So yeah. To me, if you're in the mood for that type of movie, this is actually, I think it's perfect. It wasn't like modernized and sped up for the pacing in which we like to watch movies and content now. It was very slow burn 90s thriller and I really liked it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did.
How I felt about it.
Clearly.
I will say that about this movie, that I think the opening scene in this movie was really fucking intense. Mm-hmm. And that gave me very high hopes, because usually when a movie starts off that way, when I'm like fucking on the edge of my seat scared from the start, I'm like, okay, here we go, like this is gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it kind of went downhill from there. One of my biggest issues is that, like, and I kept thinking about this, they never really did. There's a dog barking in the background too. I'm not sure if you can hear that.
No, you can't.
Okay, good, because it's driving me crazy. They never did much else with that girl, and they kind of tease you with it. By the way, there's going to be spoilers in this episode. I feel like we should announce that, because I'm not going to be able to talk about this without spoilers. But they never really did much else with the girl. Like, they brought her in later in the police station, and maybe she had a premonition or something. But I don't know. I feel like it was the poor use of that plot line. Yeah. I also had a revelation, and you guys are probably gonna be mad at me about this, but I don't like Rami Malek.
Oh, he grew on me through the movie. At the beginning of the movie, I was like, is he gonna talk like this the whole time? Like, you're not Freddie Mercury anymore, you know? And then it kind of seemed like he stopped doing it. It didn't feel as jaw clenching. It seemed like he relaxed into it a little bit more.
It's funny that you said that because I literally have a note underneath Rami Malek. Don't like him. Can't understand what he's saying half the time. Like, literally, I'm just like, dude, what the fuck are you saying? Like, as an actor, like, you literally go through like diction classes. Like, you're taught how to enunciate and how to speak so that people can understand what the fuck you're saying. And yeah.
Which is funny because I think we were talking about this after we watched it, that, you know, she's never really seen anything else that he's done, really. And I was like, well, I did watch Mr. Robot because of him. Like, I wanted to watch it because everyone talked about him and him and him. And I don't feel like he talked like that in that. And I don't know. I don't know if it's also too, it made him feel super young and like, I don't know. There was just, he just didn't feel like he fit in. I mean, besides the jaw clenching thing, it was just like, I was like, what is he doing in this movie? Like, I don't feel the connection here. I don't know what it was, but I feel like with Natalie, he did grow on me towards the end.
When he started to like actually loosen up as a person, kind of like warm up to Denzel's character is when I started to like him more. Like, it was almost like, that was the facade he had of being this like tough detective, young guy who knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like when he kind of understood that like, I could use your help. And, you know, if you help solve my case, then great. You know, and it's once he kind of accepted that fact, I wasn't bothered by him anymore. So I don't know if that was like a choice of like kind of taking down a wall. And then I felt like he actually took down a wall with audiences as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I think that was your choice in just accepting your fate, because I got to tell you, it's weird because I kept asking myself the whole time, because I really wanted to like this movie. And I have to say that like HBO offerings thus far have been very lackluster out of the gate. And I'm not very happy about this. I kept asking myself, is it the acting? Because I love Jared Leto, and I think Jared Leto's performance is the best one out of everyone in this movie. I love Denzel Washington. Wasn't feeling him at all in this movie. I felt like, I don't like Rami Malek. Didn't enjoy his performance at all. The scenes at the end in the desert, I was just like, they were painful to watch for me. Jared Leto is the only performance in this movie that like kept me going. Like, he's the only one that kept. Yeah, he was interesting. He's interesting to watch. Anytime he's on screen, I'm like captivated. I kept asking myself, what is it that I don't like about this movie? Is it the acting? Is it the writing? Is it the directing? Like, what isn't working for me? Because I can't place it. I think it was just all of it. Like, I'm not even saying that to be funny. Like, I just didn't. It was, none of it was good. Like, again, like, the story, it didn't feel like anything I hadn't seen before. Like, I understand that it was like, I don't know. I think it was probably based off of, it felt, honestly, there are parts for me that kind of felt Night Stalkery, and you guys know how I feel about it.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to kind of tie this to the next one we're going to talk about too, unfortunately, but like, I just don't know what the point of this movie was. Like, I don't know what it was supposed to offer me as a viewer. Like, why am I watching this? Why did you make this movie? What were you trying to convey here?
Well, I think also the problem for me is I love Seven. I think that movie is one of the best movies of all time. And like, this is either trying to be very similar to it, or, I mean, they definitely didn't do the job of being similar to it. I mean, compared to it, because there's no comparison. This movie,
well, it's like a poor man's Seven without
this is like, you know, and then it's like, it's hard to like, yes, Jared Leto is creepy and interesting, and like, I did like him the best, and you know, Denzel felt like he just got plopped in those to this because it's Denzel and we know that he can do it, but he didn't do anything special. And then Rami's doing too much, and then it's like, there's just too many things going on, but it's still like a dreary type of movie, you know, with killings and this and that. And I don't know, but it's just like, you know, to me, I'm like, I've seen Seven. I know that movie forwards and backwards and ups and downs. And when you watch this, it's like, there's just nothing there then, you know?
I mean, give me Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box, for God's sake. Like, give me
what's in the box.
Give me like something.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare. And I'm not comparing it in the sense that I don't feel like that's a fair comparison, because I think Seven is lightning in a bottle with completely perfect talent attached to that movie. Mm-hmm. Taking out certain aspects of that, you're going to have a like diminished product that isn't going to be as good. People could say what they want to say about Kevin Spacey, but he was fucking perfect in it.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Was perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Morgan Freeman was perfect in it. Yep. Like Gwyneth Paltrow was perfect in it. David Fincher is a phenomenal director and gives you great style and pacing to his movies. And when they're long, they feel energized and you're drawn into it. So it's not a fair comparison. You know, I think that's like trying to compare like the best possible version of something to everything else. That's never going to live up to it.
Well, yeah. I think it sets the bar though. Right. And like, yeah, so the bar has to like,
you
have
to, I think it's an unrealistic bar that most people are never going to achieve.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's been other murder crime films that were not necessarily as good as Seven, but they were exponentially better than this.
I mean, yes, for sure. But I don't think all of them are as close to Seven as it was. Like, that lives in kind of infamy, you know, with like Silence of the Lambs. Like, there are certain movies that are going to kind of stay in their place. And like Zodiac, like those movies are going to kind of forever live in this space. And maybe every once in a while, one might kind of creep into that bubble, but I don't think it's going to be very often. But just with that said, for this being a thrill, I had zero expectations going into it. And again, I think that that's, if you were really excited and kind of excited about the movies that are being released on HBO and kind of going into it with those expectations.
Which we are.
I personally wasn't. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I watched one trailer, but wasn't really super invested. I was like, whatever, fine, you know? And I enjoyed the ride. Like, I think it just hit me at a perfect time where I was willing and wanting to like pay attention and eager to, you know, fall for it and to see what happened. And I think I was really amazed by the production value of everything and all the 90s cars. Like, there's just so much detail and work that went into this movies to make it feel like it was in the 90s that I really enjoyed and really appreciated. You know, yeah, could you replace Denzel and put somebody else in and it'd be better? Probably. Could you replace Rami and it would be better? Probably. You know, so it's not like this is the best movie or the best version that this script could have been, but I still kind of enjoyed it. And I think all of it, again, spoiler alert, is for the end button, you know, the last piece that
but
we
there's
got
no
to
last
see.
Piece. There's no, I have to disagree with you. I feel like I've never disagreed with you more. Like there's no climax in this film. There's no,
but that's, and I think that that is exactly the point. It was ending on such a note that I haven't seen before. That's kind of like, again, spoiler alert, disappointing note of like, they didn't get the guy. He's making him think that they got the guy. And it's like, and that to me is what's really scary, because every single podcast that people are listening to, every single, you know, documentary series that people are watching, they want to see the guy get caught. They want to see justice done. And this is the first movie I've seen that I can remember where it's like, justice was not done. Who knows when this guy is actually going to get caught, you know? And then it's like a new force of policemen are having to start all over again. How many more people are potentially going to get murdered? Was it him? Is there not, you know, it just.
Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about that, actually. So before we go to that question that I have for you guys, I'm actually, the reason that I'm so passionately disagreeing with you about this is because you've got HBO Max, who's this like new platform that's trying to basically tell us that you guys didn't get fresh, expensive content for a year and we're going to give it to you. And here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to roll it out over the next year. And it's going to be fucking phenomenal. Right. And out of the gate, they give us Wonder Woman, which was like, meh, it was fine. You know, it wasn't everything that we believed it was going to be, but it was fine. They give us this, which I feel kind of the same about. I'm like, this was an awful movie. I don't know. If I'd seen it in a theater, I would have left thinking, okay, well, you know, AMC first class, you know, it's fine. You know, $20 for the month, it's all good. Yeah. But this was not a movie that like I was excited about or that I was like, oh my God, enthralled by. Like, I didn't feel any of that watching this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, then if this is the best you got, like, I feel
it's
like
not. It's January. Nobody okay, gives but wouldn't the best you come got in January.
Dump zone.
Like, okay, but wouldn't you no. come out of the gate with like something strong?
I think they felt that way in not that necessarily Wonder Woman was like strong in itself, but the brand and recognition and
yeah,
you know, the precedent the first movie set, that was their that's their big release. Then well, it's gonna tinker out for a little bit and then
up next we got Tom and fucking Jerry. I mean, I'm not looking forward to that one, kids. Like Jesus.
You know.
Okay, so my question for you guys is, and again, spoiler alert. I'm not going to say that again ever on this podcast because we spoil things on this podcast, but did Jared Leto do it? Because I don't think we got an answer to that.
No,
didn't.
You don't think he did it?
No, I don't think we got an answer.
Correct. It's left open for us to, mm-hmm. do we believe that they did the right thing by offing him, or did, to Natalie's point, did they catch the wrong guy and this is just...
I don't think they did the right thing because they couldn't confirm that justice was being served. So it just...
Yes, but he was taunting them. Don't taunt me.
It doesn't... It just... The whole scenario that led to that was just like something bad is going to happen. You know, yeah. Like you just... There's no way this is going to end positively for anybody. Like this guy is a sleazeball regardless of whether or not he did it.
Yes.
Like this guy is... really skeezy. So he's walking weird and spending hours
like he had poop in his pants the whole time.
And he spends hours at a strip club and his dead brown eyes
and looked like he smelled for sure.
No.
I mean that scene though when he pulls up next to him on the freeway and is like,
oh,
how big's your trunk space or whatever. Like
yeah.
That to me was like, okay, he did it. I don't care what happens if at this point, get him.
Well, like, especially because he was at the like mile marker. So it's like, yeah, they're making you. And that's part of where it's like, I think they're making the audiences feel this way so that you are siding with Denzel and Rami, that it's like,
sure,
yes, cover up the crime and, you know, pretend like everything's fine and that and to feel like you have justice, you know?
Yeah. Lena, do you think he did it?
Well, I feel like if I have to make a personal assumption, I'm going to assume, yes, he did it.
Same.
Like, I really do think that he is the one. I think that I don't think they have all the information that they need right then and there when they did whatever they did. But I think they were on the path of like, this is the guy. And then the shit happened and bye-bye. You're not going to know now, you know? And then having to cover that up, it's like, well.
So I wanted to go back and watch the beginning because do you guys recall it all? Did they give you any indication that it was him in the beginning? Or was he just literally this like shadow figure chasing the girl?
Just a shadow figure.
Okay. Yeah, shadow.
Very covered. Oh, the thing that I did want to mention that I just absolutely loved this detail in the movie was that so much of this movie was flashlights and headlights.
Oh, yeah, you loved
and
that.
And that like the starburst pattern that the lens flared into the camera was so beautiful. And I know that takes like a lot of work figuring out what kind of flashlight, what lens you have and that kind of stuff. And it just was like very well done. Like I was just like, I like that detail, especially since it's like, okay, we're going to be doing nighttime driving, a lot of flashlights with these police officers. I enjoy that. That was a pleasant visual experience.
As someone who typically appreciates the visual experience, I didn't even notice that. So thank you for calling that out. Okay, so
liked that like night looked like night, like things felt like dark.
It looked dark most of the time.
Yeah, where it's like a lot of people do like a very stylistic like blue hue tonight and stuff. Like these felt like it's fucking dark out.
It's
like
black.
It's black, you know.
Yeah. Okay, I want to make sure that I understand the ending, and I need to talk through this with you guys. So let's get into it. Okay, Natalie, take a sip of your martini. You're going to need it. Mm-hmm. All right. So at the end, Rami Malek's character ends up killing him in the desert because he Jared Leto's character kind of leads him there, and he taunts him and whatever, and he taunts him into basically killing him. So then we see a flashback to Denzel, a time when Denzel's colleagues helped him cover up a crime, mm-hmm. where he, so he's kind of returning the favor, essentially, is what's mm-hmm. happening, right? So Rami Malek's character then at the very end is kind of struggling with the fact that he did this, because we're not sure if he was the killer or not. And he's got to live with that guilt of maybe it wasn't the right person that he killed or whatever, even though he definitely killed somebody that was like icky and creepy and probably going to murder someone someday if he hadn't already. Right. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So then he, the clue is that he is delivered this mysterious red beret. And so that is Rami Malek's character's way of saying, oh great, I murdered the right person or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you see Denzel's character burning all this shit at the end, like all the evidence or whatever that he found in the apartment. Mm-hmm. And then you see, like, he bought a pack of berets and the red one's missing. And so
I think you mean Barrette,
sorry, raspberry beret.
Not the hat.
I'm a Prince fan, what can I say? Yeah, so like JK, he bought the Brays, the Brits, whatever. And that's the end. Like, I just, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then it's like, I still make the assumption that Jared Leto's character is the one. But
yeah, me too.
Possibly, maybe because Denzel's character has been, you know, chasing this guy for so long and knows all the things or whatever. And he just needed the one last, you know, he needed Rami maybe to feel better about, you know, what happened. So he did that for Rami. I don't think he did it because he wanted to be him to be like, oh yeah, this is the guy, even though it's not. I think it was more of like, it is, but here's like a clear thing for you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's my, I don't know.
It's too much. We've already spent too much time
talking. I don't have enough martinis in me to talk about more of this.
Same. All right, let's score this shit. Natalie, I'm going to let you go first because you clearly... You know what? I take that back. You're going to go last because I think you liked it. And Lena and I are going to go first. Lena, what do you score this movie? Do you not have
it? I thought I had it, and I'm still gonna say it. Like, I was gonna switch, but I'm not gonna switch. It's a four.
Oh shit.
It's not the best, and like it's not even a middle ground for me. It's like I don't really care. I just can't. I don't know.
You know what? I was thinking about switching too. I was at a three. And I was thinking, like, as we've talked through it, I'm like, am I actually at a four? Because I feel like I'm leaning more close to Lena. Like, Natalie's going to be a two. I just know it. And I feel like do I keep my three or do I go more to the dark side with Lena? I think I'm going to say a three because they're like, we literally didn't do an episode for 2 weeks because there's nothing out for us to review. So
yeah.
I feel like if you have a desire to watch this movie, it's not awful. And it's a movie, like, and it's,
that's, you know, why I was gonna go with a three, but I'm like, no, I'm gonna change it.
But it's like big budget, and it's like, it does have prominent actors in it that are like at least interesting. So I would say, like, because a four, I can't recommend. Like, if it's a four for me, there's no way I'm gonna say, like, yes, you should watch it. A three is like, I can go either way. So I think I'm gonna stick with a three. I'm not gonna be quite as harsh as Lena. Natalie's a two.
I'm a two. Again, my expectations are so low. It's not like I've gotten like watched a bunch of content lately that I feel like are just like, you know, sweeping me off my feet. Mm-hmm. I have not, there's dirt everywhere. There's no sweeping, you know, like it just, so I'm like very happy to take whatever I can get at this point.
And yeah, I think I was really excited about this. So then it's like, in these type of movies are like my jams, you know? So then it was like, I'm not totally disappointed, but I'm not like satisfied.
Yeah.
So it's like,
this be on a top thriller list of mine ever? No, absolutely not. But
Think
you fucking bored at home and want something new to watch? Fucking yeah, turn this on.
I think you're going to live to regret this score though, Natalie. I really do, because
probably.
I I am not. Yeah, I don't know. We're all craving content, right? Like we love film.
That's exactly.
This is our thing.
I'm excited that it was something new and fresh that I felt like I got to watch. That it wasn't fresh. A repeat of something.
I think it wasn't fresh, and that was my issue.
Fresh in a nostalgic way.
Okay. Well,
as in these three actors haven't been in a movie together before.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to our next delicacy this evening. Mm. We're going to talk about the Justin Timberlake movie on Apple TV Plus called Palmer. Mm-hmm. And I have a range of mixed feelings about this. So I would love to get your guys' perspective before I go on my rant.
Oh, I thought you typically like to do your rants first.
No, I'll save mine until the end.
Okay, great. Hmm. Lena, you want to start?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Palmer, Justin Timberlake. I love Justin Timberlake.
He's
and
aging well.
I think he's aging just perfectly
Do
fine.
You? Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
He looked puffy as fuck in this.
Yeah, he did look puffy.
Was maybe intentional.
I don't care. I look puffy sometimes. It's all right. But did you see the way he wears them jeans? Okay. You can turn it right back around. Just turn his little body around and watch his ass walk across the screen in those jeans.
No, I'm good.
Besides the point.
Lena, you don't look puffy tonight, actually. Now that I think about it, you look really lovely tonight. Yeah.
Oh, maybe because I had to put makeup on today. I had to wash my face and stuff.
Oh, my God.
No. Thank you. I think the movie is interesting. I haven't seen a movie like this before. I think the new kid, the writer Alan Child, is freaking adorable. I don't know. It's hard because it's a tough movie to kind of watch.
Yeah.
And lots of feelings and lots of stuff going on with the kid. And I think that for Justin being a pop star and whatever, I don't think he did a bad job watching him in this movie, which I was glad to see because I was like, I don't know. Could this be, who knows? But I feel like he was pretty relaxed and pretty cool through it. I don't know. I want to know what you guys feel about the movie. And I'm sure we'll talk about more when Sean has his rants and stuff, but I don't know. I don't think it was a bad movie. I just think I've never seen anything like this. And I think Apple kind of does interesting things. So it's it's good that they did an interesting, I don't know. It's hard because I don't know. I just felt so bad for this kid. And so I feel like I cried several times.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a bit of a tearjerker, but I cry at everything. So I don't know, but I just I liked their little connection together and how it was started off rough, but then got really cute towards the end. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just curious to know what Apple TV Plus is trying to be with their content, because I feel like they're not really a studio, right? They're kind of like the Netflix. Netflix isn't a studio, right? Netflix hires different people to create content for them. And I feel like that's kind of what Apple's trying to do, but there's no it's kind of weird. I'm going to make a really
Netflix is a studio. Apple is a studio in the sense that they're distributors of content. Even Paramount and Warner Brothers aren't necessarily developing every single piece of content they have.
Sure.
They're, distributing content that other production companies are making and bringing to them and whatever,
But when I think about A24 is an example, right? They're a studio.
Yeah.
And.
But they have a very identified brand. They know their content is all fits within a certain style and theme.
Correct.
And that's Apple. I think they're just trying to do anything large scale or something that feels large scale.
But
it doesn't feel like there's a content through line.
Yeah. And messaging. I feel like that's what I want for them though, because I feel like I've seen decent content from them. Like, I think more in the TV genre of things, but I have not yet seen an Apple. I mean, I know we liked the Bill Murray, Rashida Jones one. And I actually think that was an A24 film, if I'm not mistaken. But I feel like I want Apple to find their thing. I want them to, I want to watch something and feel like, oh, that's an, I associate that with like Apple TV Plus. Like that's a, that feels like very, that much that aesthetic to me.
That and might take them a while.
Yeah, it's going to take them a while.
Well, it's clearly
going to take them. A24 was around for a long time before mm-hmm. you started paying attention to, oh, this is an A24 movie, you know?
Sure. But I
it
also
takes a
think
while that... for like Blumhouse to be Blumhouse and A24 to be A24, you know?
Well, and I think like Neon is another one, right? And like Neon, that's a studio that does like very specific aesthetic that's probably closer in the vein to like A24 than anything else, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I love their movies. Even when I don't like their movies, I love that I watched that movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I want from something on Apple. And I don't want Apple to become another Netflix, because I feel like we have kind of a running joke on our show about like Netflix doesn't really make great film. You know, like we can probably all agree that they make great content in general and like most of it's TV, but the film stuff that they do has yet to like completely wow us, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think, I have a lot of mixed feelings about this because I really did not like it in the beginning. Like it took a lot for me to sit with this film and finish this film. And you guys know that sometimes like that's a thing for me, right? Like I'm like, I give up and I'm like, fuck, I'm done. I've never found Justin Timberlake to be a particularly compelling actor. And so I think watching him in this, especially toward the beginning, it was hard for me to like, it's often hard for me to suspend my disbelief when there's a star in something that's bigger than life or that I associate with something else. Like,
yeah,
I will forever associate Justin Timberlake with NSYNC. I hate to say that, but I just do. Like, he's a pop star to me. He's not an actor.
I think that's fine to say that.
No, I know, but like I tried to go into this movie with an open mind. I really did, because the trailer did not look appealing to me. There was really nothing about this that I was like excited to watch. I'm going to say something super weird, but like the aspect ratio really bothered me in this movie. The aspect ratio never bothers me in a movie ever, but for some reason I did not like it.
I've heard you say that 3 times.
I know. I was like, I feel like you say that quite a bit.
Have I said that? Yeah, maybe. Yes.
I don't ever say this ever, but aspect ratio bothers me. We've heard you say that.
I'm like, I don't even know what aspect ratio is. That's and every time you say it, I'm like, what does that mean?
It's a film podcast. I would just recommend maybe learning.
No,
learning
I what know what it is.
The reason I'm conflicted is because I do think that this film offers some really interesting perspective on like criminal justice reform and how we treat people once they've served their time. Mm-hmm. And I feel really passionate and strongly about that, right? Because as a human being, I think like we're given one life and we should give people second chances when they've, you know, served their time.
Yeah, that was a big thing. I was like, man.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. And like that guy that just kept giving him shit over and over again, I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, I guarantee you go home and beat your wife. So go fuck yourself. Like, I think my biggest issue with this movie, and again, this is more me than it is maybe the movie, but I just feel like right now it's a very dark time in the world. And I don't necessarily think that we need content that is this depressing and this dark at this time. And again, that's, you know, this is my bias and this is my, you know, sole perspective, but it's just, this movie was too much for me. It was too much. Like watching this movie was such like a emotionally like draining experience for me. And I'm already emotionally drained in my life. Like work is crazy for me. Like I'm by myself. I can't see my friends. I can't see my family. I can't do anything. Like I don't like life sucks right now. You know, like we're all trying to make the best of it. And so you give me a movie about life sucking for these people and the system sucks and the world is awful. And like, okay, cool. I agree with you, but like, I don't know what the point of this is. Like, why did you make this movie? Why did you write this? Why do we need this? Like, what the fuck? Like, I needed to keep drinking to keep watching this movie because it was so much. And I don't think that means it was bad. It just made me want to shoot myself in the head. I don't understand like what the point of this movie was, like, other than to just depress me. Like, what can I do about these people that live this life and it sucks?
No, I know, but I think that the underlying thing is the kid, right? It's like seeing the kid and what he's going through, and he's young and, you know, he's clearly, you know, but gonna
that kid's
be
gonna
different.
Go on to have a shitty life. He's gonna have an awful life.
I know, but also he is also possibly now with Justin, spoiler alert, trying to adopt him, whatever, he might have some sort of like positive life because he has someone that believes in him. I mean,
he's
his mom
have
believed
a good
in
dad
him, but like,
and maybe a good stepmom, but he's gonna have a shitty life. Like, in the world that we live in today, like, that kid, that whether he's trans or, you know, whatever, however he ends up identifying, right, like, he's going to have a shitty life. And I hate to say that because I want to believe that we've made more progress in the world than maybe that's what the movie's about. It's about the conversation that we're having, right?
Yeah. And
hopefully more people will have a conversation that watch this movie. But I'm just like, it's like everybody in this movie was such a shitty circumstance. Like, even when the grandma died, like at the beginning of the movie, and I'm just like, God, she actually escaped. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, but maybe
lives
like
are so awful.
Maybe the kid could grow up to be like and leave that town and like go and be something because he has now a support system. I don't know.
I personally don't think you're the audience, Sean, and I don't think we're the audience. I think the audience is for people who had similar perspectives as to Justin Timberlake's character at the beginning of the movie, where he didn't agree with how this kid was acting. Boys should act like boys and not play with dolls and da 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 da. And you slowly break down those walls and ideas that you think need to be gender norms and just truly fall in love with this kid and want to protect this kid. And you want this kid to be happy. And then that becomes the priority. So I think that that's not that, like, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but it's not like middle America can't do that. But maybe they're not as exposed to, you know, a ton of different people, that this is something that maybe they've are accustomed to, the way that I think a lot of us who have, especially living in Los Angeles, are. Like, we want to protect all the people that live here, and we, you know, really care about everybody and want people to be happy. And that's, we already believe that. So from the very first scene, we are on that child's side, you know, and it takes, he's annoying to Justin Timberlake and he doesn't understand it. And I think I think audiences are kind of supposed to go along the ride with that character and kind of start breaking down their walls. So I think that that's the intention of who this movie is for. It's very hard. And I think it's supposed to be hard because they need to be feeling those feelings during this. They need to feel like they told him not to, like, get that Halloween costume, you know, and you can't wear a dress to school. Like, the teacher resembled a lot of people that are already in that mindset of like, see, like, I already believe this and I'm going to help this kid out as much as I can. But that isn't who the movie was made for. It's made for the people that think like Justin Timberlake's character, you know?
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to challenge you with on that, and like, I listen, as a gay kid that grew up, like, I never wanted to wear the ballerina costume or the princess costume or whatever he did, but I definitely understood what it was like to feel different and be made fun of for that. And I think that I definitely see what you're saying, Natalie, and I like so appreciate what you're saying. I actually found myself more identifying with some of the things that Justin Timberlake's character was doing because I wanted to protect the kid too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that Justin Timberlake's character was like a bigoted asshole, right? Like, we might normally like,
I think he was at first.
Well, I think
his annoyance with the kid was like, when he was like, boys don't play with dolls. That was,
well,
like,
I think it's because, him, you know, I think that's because that's how he was raised and how clearly that town is raising their men. And I think that was just like an instinct.
Way.
I know, but
I
think
raised
it's just
that way. I mean, I was never encouraged to do that as a gay kid. Like, I guess I just don't. I understand.
So that's like the norm that like people see, right? So it's like, but you also don't have to be that when you're older, and you can make a decision And I feel like throughout he made a decision, hey, you're right, you can do what you want to do. Yeah. You know,
I guess I felt,
I think what you're saying, Sean, is like our generation grew up with like, there's still love, but these are the ways you need to kind of go up, stay in line, because that's how you protect yourself. You know, like we love you, we got it, but like, don't go too far. And now people are questioning like, well, why not? Like, why can't they dress how they want to dress and act how they want to act? And if they identify as female, then like, why aren't we accepting that? Like, I think, yes, there were steps in our generation that accepted, you know, I think differences a lot more, but still like, okay, we accept it, but don't go too far, you know, like there's still, you have to kind of fit within these norms still, you know? And I think now it just, hopefully it's getting to that place where it's, why not? Why can't the teacher come dress as the man principal, you know?
I think I just, the thing I would push back on, and not with you guys, but more with like the writer maybe, in this scenario, is that like they just made it so cliched. Like they put them in like a shitty podunk town with like ignorant fucktards, like whatever. Like you would expect everyone to be that way, right? Like maybe if you'd set this in like a more upscale town where you, like, I'm not even saying New York City necessarily, or but like somewhere like a little more like upscale where everybody wasn't trash. I mean, I'm sorry, like I, that's rude to say that, but like everyone in this movie was trash essentially, right? Like they were just like,
the teacher wasn't,
yeah, sure, okay, but like this was like, this wasn't even like small town, this was like really really poor small town, right? And I feel like it was just so cliched to set it in that environment, because of course everyone's going to be a bigot. Of course everyone's going to be, you know, against this kid. Of course the mom's going to be on drugs. Of course, like whatever. And I just felt like it was almost like pandering to me as like for someone in the audience.
Because you're not the audience.
Sure. And I get that. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to respect your opinion about that. But I was the audience in this case, and I was watching this from Justin Timberlake's perspective. And of course I didn't want that kid to go to school in the princess costume, not because I'm homophobic or transphobic. It's because I don't want the kid to get his ass kicked. Like I want to protect him just the same way Justin Timberlake's character wants to protect him. Right. And I don't know. I definitely see your point, Natalie, because I think that there's something, you know, there's something in this for people that are not us, with what we believe to be open minds and, you know, progressive, you know, ideology or whatever. But I don't know. I don't.
Then is this going to, one, are those people going to watch this movie?
That's my question. Two, are those people going to watch this movie?
Are they going to take something away from it? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But, and two, are they going to take something away from it?
Yeah.
Even if two people took something away from it.
Yeah,
very true.
That to be very success. True.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Absolutely.
I will say, like, my critique of this movie is that I never looked at Justin Timberlake and didn't think, "Oh, this is Justin Timberlake."
Yeah,
he never pulled me out of who he was in this movie, which is really a disservice to like
the story.
Character and the story and the movie. And again, this may be the pull and the marketing to get people to watch it that maybe need to watch it. And I think he's capable of doing it. You know, I think I loved him in Social Network. Like, I never once thought that like, oh, that's Justin Timberlake in Social Network. Like, I just was along for the ride. And then I know this is like a crazy wild movie, but Alpha Dog, like, I don't know if you guys remember that movie. I loved this movie. And there's such an emotional scene with Justin Timberlake and Anton Yelchin at the end of the movie that has me in tears every single time I watch it. And it's just like, so I know he's capable of like getting there, but I think he was just like, he just played it a little too strong and brooding and broken. It, you know, like it just felt too intentional, tough guy, you know, and then the accent going in and out. And I was just like, ugh, you know.
He reminded me of Eminem and 8 Mile.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, I couldn't get that out of my brain the entire time I'm watching this movie. I'm like, this is Eminem and 8 Mile. Like, that's, he's playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like,
it just, he didn't like relax into it at all. Like, it just felt like, yeah, just like stiff the whole time. Like, I just have to, you know, I don't know.
I hate to say this, but I do think that like we have to, one of the things in Hollywood, and if you've ever done acting, like this is the first thing that they teach you in acting class, especially for like film, it's that you're going to be typecast and mm-hmm. you're going to have to learn to like play to your strengths. And if you are, if you are like the brooding, handsome lead, then that is your thing. And if you're like the best friend, then that is your thing. And you can try to play outside of the confines of that, but realistically, you're like, you're not going to be cast in anything other than that. And I'm thinking of like, what's the, what's the woman that always, Judy Greer. Judy Greer. Thank you, Judy Greer.
I knew exactly when you said best friend. I'm like, Judy Greer.
But she's the perfect example, right? That she's never going to be the lead. And like, that's okay because she's great as the best friend and she makes mm-hmm. a living off of that. And that's,
she's the best friend ever.
She is. And we need the best friend in movies. And
yeah,
when I think of Justin Timberlake, I actually think of like, I actually didn't mind him in Alpha Dog, but I think of like Southland Tales. I'm not sure if you guys ever saw that movie, but that to me is like the perfect Justin Timberlake role. It's like a kind of like eccentric, almost a pop star. He has like a scene where he does like a musical number. Like, and I hate to say that because I want to let Justin Timberlake like expand his horizons if he wants to as an actor or whatever. But like, to your point, Natalie, I'm never going to buy it. Like, he's yeah. going to be Justin Timberlake for me. And so I feel like if you're going to cast him in a movie like this, that's such yeah. like a serious drama and, you know, whatever. And like, maybe it's great that it found its way to Apple TV Plus because Apple is, you know, pop culture and music and all of these things, and it's fine. I don't know.
Now, imagine our new love, and I use new for you guys and not for me, but imagine.
You always have to jab like, us with that, don't you? Christopher, is that who you're talking about?
Imagine Christopher Abbott in this role instead of Justin. You know, like, it just.
Yeah. I can imagine Christopher Abbott on anything, yeah, on top of me, underneath me. I mean, anywhere, really. He just fits in.
I mean, I would definitely love to recast this entire film. I mean, maybe not the kid. The kid, I don't feel the affinity that you do.
He was so cute.
He was so cute. He did such a good job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says, but when he was running after that car, screaming.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, totally. Like, rip my heart out.
Yeah. I know it's going to take chiseling and some ice picks to get this ice heart out, but like, it was almost out. Like, I was just like, oh my God.
Really screaming, you know? I'm like, oh my God.
That was awful. But then I'm looking at Justin Timberlake and I'm like, you're not emoting
anything.
What I want you to in this moment. Like, this is such a powerful moment and you're so focused on being like kind of stoic or what, I don't know. Like, that could have been the moment that I would have felt like, okay, you earned this role, and he didn't in that moment. He was close, but he didn't.
In that scene in particular in the car when he's driving away, and the Justin Timberlake character I'm speaking specifically to, I learned in acting class that if you're not a good actor, which a lot of people in LA are not, let's be honest, and that they even teach you this is sad, but it is what it is. If you're not a good actor, if you can just be neutral enough to let the audience project whatever they want to feel or whatever they are feeling onto you, mm-hmm. that's enough. And I couldn't help but think in that particular scene when they're in the car, that's exactly what Justin Timberlake was doing. He was reflecting.
I felt like that's what he was doing the entire movie.
Totally. But he was reflecting on that moment in acting class, and they taught him that, like, Justin, you're not a good actor. So we just need you to be like enough of a blank slate that the person watching this can project what they're feeling onto you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that with him. Like, I couldn't, because any other actor, maybe even if it was like an unknown in this role. And I actually kept thinking that, like, if you're going to do this kind of like indie film with this like really poignant story, mm-hmm. maybe cast like everyone as unknown, and then we can all appreciate it together. And we're not trying to like have an expectation for like a Justin Timberlake or a movie with a big star in it. Right. And I actually think that like casting him was probably a disservice to this film.
But then nobody's ever going to see it.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like, didn't. I definitely didn't go into this like, oh, Justin Timberlake, yay, because he's such a great actor. It was more like, okay, great. Justin Timberlake's trying to do something. Let's see what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think he's ever, to me, I'm like, do you, whatever, but like, do a comedy because you're hysterical. Yeah, and like,
he's fun in comedies.
Play those kinds of things and just be that. I don't know why.
That's what I'm saying though. Like, yeah. SNL, like when he's on SNL, yeah. And he can just be Justin Timberlake.
He kills it on SNL.
He's entertaining. He's a great entertainer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, it's like Mariah Carey trying to do like a serious role where I'm like, I'm just not buying it, honey. Like, I love you. You're a great.
The thing stay in that your makes lane. Them so special is their charisma and star power and the magnetism that mm-hmm. has, and you're stifling that for this and then giving me nothing instead of
but like make millions of dollars like- doing the thing that you're good at making millions of dollars at, like, if you know what I mean. And I just, and I hate to say it, like, I'm not trying to sound like they're clearly doing more in their lives than any of us are, so kudos to them, but I just feel like I don't know. I give up.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I think my general thesis for this episode is just the notion that 2021 is not shaping up to be a good year for film. Of all the movies I've watched this year thus far, nothing has thrilled me or inspired me or stood out in a way that like anything did last year. I saw so much good film last year, and I know that we disagree on that, Natalie, but because your list was challenging.
Baby boo, lower your expectations for January. I have to. And every year, like the fact January, that the Invisible Man
we saw, that was an anomaly.
That kicked off the year though, dude. That I was know. Like
that's not a normal, but it's
stuff
for
like
January.
Underwater and Grudge. These are all things that you see in January, February. Like that's the dump zone.
You get a little bit of like holdover from Oscars, like at the beginning of January, that like are wider releases. But then everything that comes out after that is mostly garbage.
But we're not getting those this year. We're not getting the Oscar stuff this year. No. So
I mean, I think maybe just a little bit of extra stuff.
I mean, I'm honestly, like, I'm gonna just. Be really candid with you. I'm at a point where I'm willing to spend the $20 to rent Promising a Woman because I really want to see that movie. And it might be the only saving grace of my year.
Yeah. You know.
We'll see.
I agree. I just think I am excited for new content. Mm-hmm. And that's where my expectations stop. Like, I just, like, I know it's been a challenging year. I think the normal release schedule and how things are normally done is not happening right now. So it just, I have to just put all of that aside and just try and enjoy the experiences as they come.
Are we getting a new Mission Impossible this year, Tom? Is he going to come through for us or is that 22?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's 22.
Okay.
Because I think they're filming it right now.
They're filming it now.
Yeah.
Well, I need them to
hurry
up.
Unless they got shut down because of COVID. All of
I hope not. Watching. Don't piss off Tom again. Don't do that.
Yeah.
By the way, I cut that whole rant out of our last episode because it was too much.
I know.
I don't know if you noticed that when you listened back, but
funny. I did.
Last but episode, I did. We went on a total tangent about the Tom Cruise COVID like anchor spell or whatever. And I just like, it was too much for that episode. I wanted to put Tom in the light.
I know.
All right. Should we score this one?
Sure.
Yeah.
Natalie, why don't you go first this time?
Why not two?
I knew it. Mm-hmm. You're good.
Why not?
I'm a three on this one. Down the middle. I liked how what the story's trying to do.
Yeah.
Is it the best movie? No. But should people watch it for something? Yes. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm with Lena. I'm a three. I really did not like this in the beginning. It took me a long time to really get into this film. But once I did appreciate it for what was happening and the story that they were trying to tell. And it's very dark. And I feel like the thing that I just recommend with both of these films, is like if you're not in a good place right now, like emotionally, which I think a lot of people are not, like this is not the time to release this movie. Like maybe like November when things are better. And like we've got the vaccine, we're all like going to bars and having a good time again. you know, I just, right now, this is a very dark movie. And if you're depressed, if you're not coping well with everything going on, I can't recommend that you watch this movie, because it's not going to make your life any better. I didn't come out of this movie, and I feel like the goal of this movie is to like make you appreciate your life. I didn't come out of this movie appreciating my life more. I came out of it just really depressed. That's all I got.
It was a tough movie, but I didn't feel personally traumatized by
it. It didn't drain me.
No.
It drained my tears, but
I think it ended in a happier tone than the entire movie was, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that was maybe the only saving grace on that. Maybe I would have felt a lot different.
Yeah.
Had the movie ended differently.
Well, I felt personally victimized by Regina George. That's all I gotta say. As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show. We'll see you next time.
Cheers!